Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
You know, I was thinking about this, watching the game last night and Friday. I mean, this atmosphere is so incredible right now. You look out on all these people and all this excitement, and I think the 84 Cubs and Ryan Sandberg started all of it.
Listen to those crowds. Might as well join them.
The Sandberg game that day on June 23rd, 1984.
In a left center field and deep, this is a tie ball game.
The game of his life was happening on the game of the week, and it actually changed his life and his career.
Oh! He hits it to deep left center. Look out. Do you believe it?
Way back. Might be out of here.
Hey!
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 He did it again. He did it again.
Oh!
The game is tied. The game is tied. Holy cow.
Sandberg, in the Cubs' last at-bat, has twice delivered a game-tying home run, a solo shot of the night. A two-run blast with two out of the 10th.
Tony, not only can I not remember the last time I broadcast a game this good, I can't remember the last time I've seen a game this enjoyable, this entertaining.
The Cubs are the champions! The Cubs win! Look at that mob scene!
Yeah, he was a superhero. I can't imagine a person handling their fame better, their responsibility, you know, for a city better than he did.
Batting second and playing second base. Taking his fifth consecutive All-Star start, the National League top vote getter from the Chicago Cubs, Ryan Sandberg.
Ryan Sandberg, who received the biggest ovation of the evening. Boy, they love him here in Chicago.
Well, Harry, it is Ryan Sandberg Day. They're honoring perhaps one of the greatest second basemen in baseball history, and an overflow crowd here to bid him adieu.
You know all of his accomplishments, 9 gold gloves and 10 all-stars and more homers than any second baseman ever, the best fielding percentage of any second baseman who ever lived. He is simply one of the all-time greats in Chicago Cubs history.
He was a gentleman both on and off the field, still a teammate.
Everybody on their feet, look at that. His players are all there also, huh? His teammates. We'll never forget you, Rhino, the sign says. Boy, oh boy. Does that tell you a story about the man's popularity?
You know, I think all of us owe him a debt of gratitude for creating this and creating all those memories. And we all love you, Rhino, from the whole fan base. You know, thank you for everything.
I don't have the words to describe Cub fans. You picked me up when I was down. You lifted me to heights that I didn't know I could reach. I feel like every Cub fan in the world is here with me today. And by the way, for what it's worth, Ron Santo just gained one more vote from the Veterans Committee. I love you too.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Absolutely magnificent. Welcome into the Spiegel and Holmes show. We are here with you until 6 o'clock, and we are going to spend a ton of time reliving the remarkable life of Ryan Sandberg, and we've got a bunch of great guests that are going to join us to be a part of it, and we are very lucky to be able to talk with all of these people. Our buddy Nico Horner is going to join us in about 10 minutes. We will talk with Cubs manager Craig Counsell at 3 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, Barry Rosner is going to join us. Andre Dawson will join us at 4:25. Bob Costas at 5 o'clock. Speaks over the last 18 hours, obviously it's been rough for everybody who has even encountered Rhino or knows a little bit about his story, or maybe people who were listening to the Radiothon last year and didn't know how big of a deal it was or the treatment that Rhino was going through, and saw his joy play out on these airwaves when his scans came back clean like less than a year ago. There's a lot to discuss and dissect here.
Yeah, there is. And boy, I'm a bit overwhelmed by the beauty of that audio piece and the tracing of the man's career and the man's life. And if you're a baseball fan in Chicago, doesn't matter what side of town, you were impressed by that man as a player and as a person. And he was always just so kind and humble and respectful of people, of life, of the game, obviously. And that theme of respect was all through the legendary Hall of Fame speech, which continues to resonate. It was quoted this weekend in Cooperstown by the granddaughter of the Hall of Fame's founder. During the ceremony, she quoted Ryan Sandberg's speech. It lives. And it's a huge loss for baseball right now. I mean, the man at 65, he was primed to be just a beautiful ambassador, like built for that role, into his dotage. Billy Williams is in his 80s and is so classy and wonderful. And Fergie Jenkins is what, late 70s, I think, for Fergie.
Still going out to games and sitting in the stands.
That should be the next 15 years of Ryan Sandberg's life. And we're robbed of that. He was robbed of that. The Cubs now as an org are robbed of that. Baseball is robbed of that. Because that guy stood for everything that's great about the game and it's great about Chicago baseball. And it's just, it really hurts. And it's an honor to get to be here and try to help process it for people.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it, Spiegs, where we are going to do our best to try, because we were trying to figure out, like, what type of show are we doing today? And obviously, like, with the Cubs and the Brewers playing and us having Nico and Craig, it's there are baseball things that I think people would like to hear about, but we're going to make sure that whether it's through our guests or through your phone calls, that if you want to pay tribute to Rhino or just talk about it, because sometimes it's just good to just sit in the room and talk. And if we can provide the room today to just talk about Rhino, I think that's a big part of our job.
I think so, too. And the score has been doing that. Chuck Swirsky last night, coming on live after postgame, and Mully and Hall this morning, and then Rami and Marshall, and just hearing, hearing fans discuss it. And we'll make time for your phone calls today, because it's Rhino, like, reminded you of the way that you feel about baseball and the way that you feel about sports. And maybe the way you felt about the 1984 team, or the way you felt when you walked into Wrigley in the early 90s for the first time and saw him and saw Grace and saw these guys, I mean, whatever it was, whatever era, Rhino was a living reminder of the goodness of baseball. And to have that taken away just absolutely sucks. But it is current. Like, Craig Counsell talked about it last night. He was there in the spring with this team. You'll hear a clip of Rhino talking about Nico Hoerner in Nico Hoerner's Open that we're going to play in a few minutes. This is not a remember the past. This is very much an active part of baseball in this town.
And it hurts. Like, and that's the part that when you were talking about in transition, like the sharing of things, this hurts. And it's okay.
Yeah, it is. That
it hurts. That if you were a Cub fan that remembers watching him play, or someone who remembers your favorite Cub fan telling you stories about Rhino, it's okay that it hurts. And we need to live in that a little bit, too.
Yeah, we do. I live with one who was hurting last night, And she was hurting and she was emotional. She's like, why am I feeling this way? And we had to talk about it and think about it.
It connects to so many things.
A lot of things. And people have been reaching out. I'm sure your phone has been, blowing up with text threads, and you've had some phone calls. And some of those people that we've called are going to be on the show. I'm so glad Barry Rosner is coming on.
Me too.
That he covered him for a long time, but then they were very close for a long time. Barry's been tweeting pictures, including one of him and Rhino within just the last couple of months having breakfast together.
And if you loved Rhino's speech, you hear Barry Rosner's words speech.
You really do.
So that's how tight those two guys were. So this day we're gonna do our best to continue to follow what is, the big baseball story in town with our guest. Mm-hmm. But people deserve the opportunity to emote, and we hope that you'll join us in that emoting process with the people that we bring on, like our next guest. Nico Hoerner is going to join us. He's got stories about Rhino, and he feels comfortable sharing them. We'll do that next here on The Score.
Batting six, second baseman number two, Nico Hoerner. Hello, I got places to be.
Nico Hörner. That's so fun.
Nico Hörner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
Got good hair.
He does.
He's jacked, too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm jealous.
It's called court awareness.
That's right.
Nico's got it.
Cubs wins and dates with Bruce. It's a great thing.
Double dates. Wow.
All right, guys. Nico Hörner.
Nico did his weekly radio show appearance today on Spiegel and Holmes.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
Well, Ryan Sandberg is our guest here. Do you have a relationship with Nico Hörner?
I do, just been from being around. And
yeah, I'm just kind of curious. Yeah, I mean, like he's making the transition to second base.
And he's an all-around player. It fits, doesn't it, Dan?
Yeah, I like him. That is one of the better bats that we have. I can hit close to 300 and use the whole field. He plays the game the right way. So I've done some appearances with him and been around him. The defense, I think, is going to be a bright spot. I mean, the reason I'm kind of hesitating with the statue thing about, I could very easily put a perfect home run swing up there. But I think defense is the thing that got me to the big leagues first. And I think defensive pitching is where the game starts. If you have good pitching and good defense, you have a chance to win every game. And then you just have to get a key hit and do some things. So I think defense is a big part of it. So the way that he plays, it's a bright spot, and it really gives them a chance to win every day.
Nico Hörner on 670 The Score.
How fun is that?
We are thankful to our friend Nico Hörner for joining us. By the way, Cubs and Brewers begin a huge series tonight, or continue a huge series tonight in Milwaukee. Pregame coverage starts at 6:05. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer have the first pitch at 6:40. The Score on The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. Nico, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We know that this isn't easy, and we appreciate you jumping on with us. I just, people can see you on Twitch, so you're repping Rhino. So last night when you guys get word about that, what was the first thing that you started thinking about?
I mean, Counts talked to the group some just briefly after the game, and I just wanted to let everybody know that I hadn't heard and emphasize just obviously how sad it is, but how lucky we were to have him as a part of our organization and our team at all, and a reminder of just like the joys of playing and how much he emphasized just wanting to be around the game of baseball until his very last days that he possibly could. And just incredible stuff that he gave to this organization, and you know, a reminder of how amazing what we get to do is. And but yeah, just a really tough time.
It's a day where we're going to spend a lot of time, Nico, kind of looking back on his career. But I love how current he was, how around he was, how present he was. And I mean, and Counts mentioned it, you guys in the spring, this spring, like to see him. And it's a tough time for Ryan Sandberg. And he chose to spend his time with you guys. That's kind of wonderful.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I feel like some people after their career is done, they don't really know how to handle things not being about them anymore. And that was never the case with him. It was always about the game of baseball first and the respect that he had for it. And, you know, you watch his Hall of Fame speech, and that was a big thing that he was emphasizing, just respect for the game, even as a superstar and legend in the sport. He was never bigger than the game itself. And he held on to that through all of his time with us. And I just really appreciate the lens that he looked at the sport with, and how selfless he was, even though he had every reason to make it about himself.
Last week you shared with us him bringing the gloves in, and I know people were talking to you a little bit in post game last night. I kept thinking about that, you know, while I was watching you guys play and then hearing the news of it. I kept thinking about how important artifacts like that can be when you're making connections between people. And it seemed to really connect with you that he was willing to share some of that with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you guys had an awesome intro to this segment, but just hearing him talk about his statue and wanting it to be him playing defense, and you know, even though he was a guy who hit 40 homers and had all the accolades offensively, just how core to his game he saw defense and to winning in general. And so it was cool to always talk about the defensive side of things with him, and things that he did that he took pride in, and just sharing, you know, that same space at Wrigley that he manned for so long. It's was an incredible thing to get to talk about.
You mentioned the intro. That was 2023, us at Harry Caray's on Navy Pier, and him talking about you. He enjoyed you as a player, just straight up like, I mean, that's pretty neat, and not a surprise, frankly, to us who get to watch you as a player. So you must have had at least a couple moments with him just kind of talking about the basics, and pretty nice that a Hall of Famer appreciated you, man.
Yeah, absolutely, and it seems like he appreciated me for the things that he kind of valued some and took pride in himself, and so and that means the world. And you know, for us as players, we all strive to be players even somewhat like him, and that he pretty much did every part of the game well. You know, we've talked about that a lot on this show, of just always looking for ways to improve as a player, how you can be more valuable and affect winning. And talk about a guy that hit for power, played great defense, played fast, played hard, played all the time. Like, you check every box as a player like that and do it for two decades, and that's what a Hall of Famer is, and pretty incredible.
Talking to Nico Horner on the Spiegel and Holmes show, he's up in Milwaukee, always makes his way to a good spot visually to hang out with us on the Twitch. Is that behind the plate in front of the netting right there?
No, I'm in the ball boy chair down the third baseline.
That is outstanding. I hope Rhino was watching on Sunday, man, because the ball game you had on Sunday on the south side, the 15-pitch at bat before an infield hit, a 9-pitch walk later, the crazy-ass rundown for the obstruction play.
Nico, you saw like 60 pitches in your at bats.
and the infield fly double play. I mean, there's a little something for everybody in every facet of your game. Oh, and an RBI single before you scored on the Matt Shaw double, getting to do your head first slide with the tongue out. I mean, that had everything that day. Crazy fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It's not a sport where you can really force the action too much. Like a lot of sports, you can, you know, play harder and really impact winning. It doesn't always show up that way in baseball, but sometimes the game just gives you opportunities, and that game gave me a lot, and was able to capitalize on some of them, and a little chaos involved, but it worked out well, and it was a really fun series win.
Well, we've been joking in our group chat. I thought it was Javian. I have now dubbed you New Javi. So just so you know,
there's only one, but that's okay.
we gotta find out what the French word for magician is, and then we can add that and put that with Nico, since we already have El Mago for Javi.
So Javi in what? In just like creating the chaos?
The being a chaos agent. And to me, it was more about the joy. Like watching Nico play this weekend, there was a lot of joy in it. And I was like, man, this is so fun. Like you're just sitting there watching a guy who, like, there's a bleep eating grin going on with the infield fly play, and it's like, because I know the rules, I get an opportunity to make a great play. Uh-huh. And I gotta tell you, like, playing against that guy when you're younger, like, you hated that guy, and getting a chance to see Nico do it, I'm like, God, I love that guy, he's amazing. So that's what's Javian.
Yeah, people always ask, like, oh, like, what'd you learn, like, playing next to Javi? Or, and obviously, I'm like, probably not the guy to like try and emulate the things he does on the field, because he's, you know, generational and kind of one of a kind with just what he can do. But if there is something, it's definitely like, that level of playing with freedom and joy and not being afraid of risks, and just like trusting when it comes to playing, just like trusting your athleticism and enjoying it too. And so. Thank you. It's a high compliment.
and trusting your baseball instincts, because you've got them. So when does the thought hit you on the infield fly? Walk us through that mental process, will you? As the ball is in the air and you're thinking about what to do.
Yeah. So off the bat, I was more so thinking about, like, because the runner didn't run right away. Just thinking about dropping it and then getting him at first, but then they call infield fly, so I hear that, and then my feet are on the grass, which makes it a lot easier to handle a ball that bounces. I don't really like letting it drop on the dirt, just because there's a little more, you don't want it to bounce away and then the runners advance or something like that. So my mind is more so on the runner in front of me, though, once I let it drop. That's why there's kind of a little pause, but then Bushy's pointing and Dansby's yelling three, and that helped me out a lot to be able to pick it up and get him at third.
So and then the walk off, Lawrence, just the walk off. I mean, you, the swagger, the joy, that had to be satisfying because it looked like it was satisfying.
Yeah, very, very satisfying. Just because, I mean, like, you know, we always talking in the locker room or throughout the game and kind of all these hypotheticals. I feel like we have a team that really likes to just talk the game and the staff as well, and in a great way. But a lot of that stuff just doesn't really show up maybe every year or two. And so when there is an opportunity for something like that and it actually works out and it's in a big spot and a game with a lot of energy and playing the White Sox and stuff, yeah, it's incredibly satisfying.
What was the reaction when you got back to the dugout?
Yeah, it's just excitement, people laughing, people excited, and good momentum our way, and had been a back and forth series, and yeah, it felt great.
How satisfying is it to have a clubhouse where those conversations are coming on? Because look, in theory, everyone there really loves baseball, but how does it feel for that to be shown through the fact that you guys are not just playing the game, but you're talking the game?
Yeah, yeah, and it shows up in times that don't go well too. But like when there is a constant dialogue, it sets down standards, accountability, and it goes back to joy around the game too. Because part of what makes the game so fun is like knowing that it's challenging, but then you know working through things. And when they show up at game speed, it's really satisfying. I remember one moment we lost in Miami. Jesus Sanchez hit a ball down the line that was a walk off, and It was smoked and it was right down the line, but it was a situation that, you know, some teams just put their defender, like literally sit him on the line and play no doubles. And in that case, we were in closer to a more traditional, and it didn't work out that game, but it was cool because after the game, it was just like everyone was just like talking about it and just so invested in the theory of it and just the, you know, obviously the result wasn't great, but we were talking through just why and how. And when you're on the field, whatever you're doing, you want to believe in it, and that comes through conversation and things like that. And so obviously every plan or thought has holes in it, and things are going to get exposed at times, but it's fun when you feel like you're all on the same page.
I think you got a lot of people to play that way, you know, like it made me think of Dansby with a fake out in Arizona on the opening weekend.
That was such a great play. Man, right? That feels like 2 years ago, but yeah, that was great.
That was the opening weekend of this year. That's right. Yeah. It was Corbin Carroll at the plate who hit it, and he knew he wasn't going to get him, but he still deked the throw to first and went over and tagged the runner. But like, you know, and Ian's instincts on the obstruction play with Colson Montgomery. Yeah. he knows that's his base path, and if he goes right through, he's not doing anything wrong.
Yeah, he made sure to let him know.
He really did. Did you guys get Ian some shoulder pads or something? Because
for a guy who didn't play contact sports growing up, he's a golf and baseball guy. That was
pretty impressive.
Yeah, pretty good. He's in there somewhere.
I think he's got fullback mentality when I think about it. Like as a blocking guy.
Yeah, he grew up in Pittsburgh. He's a tough guy. Yeah.
They all play football there,
yeah.
Even though they don't, because it's Ian. But
all right, wait. Look, last night is a missed opportunity. That's a tough game, isn't it? When you're up 3-0 on the Miz in inning number one, did it feel like last night should have gone a different way than it did?
What'd you call him?
The Miz. I went with the Miz.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're all right with that, I mean, he's not our player. Maybe I shouldn't be that familiar, right? He's theirs.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you take 3-0 lead with Boyd on the mound, you take your odds absolutely every time with that. And, you know, would love to, anytime we have a 3-run lead with him on the mound and, you know, a full bullpen and everything, feel great about your chances. And we weren't able to capitalize on it.
Should I not call Milwaukee players by their nickname? Does that feel wrong?
No, I was just unfamiliar. I missed out, I guess.
What's it like to play in emotionally charged back-to-back road, you know, I'm using air quotes for those who can't see me on Twitch, road series, like these two series have been? Like, these packed houses over on the south side this weekend. Yesterday, that place was going crazy between Brewers and Cubs fans. How do you channel that emotion of playing in something like this for the last 4 days?
Yeah, I mean, it goes both ways. It's more than anything, I think it's energizing, and it's it's exciting. I think it brings out the best in a lot of people. I've always really enjoyed the games we get to play in at the White Sox ballpark. We've had I feel like some pretty crazy games against them in the last two or three years, even though we've had a good record. A lot of them have been really close. So, those games are always charged and fun and just makes you appreciate being in a city that cares about sport that much and is invested, and no matter how either team is doing, and kind of feels like it's going to be a close game no matter what. And then, same with Milwaukee. I mean, the games here have always been high energy, especially they had the roof open last night, but especially when the roof is closed here, it gets really loud. And, it's an awesome opportunity to be in the middle of the season, but having those intense atmospheres, and that's the fun part about playing for a good team and having high stakes. It's an amazing thing to get to do.
One more Rhino note that I wanted to go through with you, because Counts brought it up last night, and he says that he talks about this all the time.
Yeah, him and Flaherty mention it once a week, right?
Yeah, when you talk about the amount of triples that Rhino had in 1984.
And then he had 19 triples.
Yeah, 19 triples and 13 of them at Wrigley Field.
It was 14 at Wrigley. It's insane.
Yeah.
How do you get 14 triples at Wrigley Field?
I mean, Wrigley's a decent triples park, like metrically, but a lot of those are just lefties that hook it down the line. Like, to do as a righty is pretty crazy. There can be the left field corner ball shows up sometimes if it really sits in the ivy, but you got to be really fast and just ready for it at all times, aggressive and hitting the ball hard in the air somewhere all the time and just never stop running. So that's a really, really crazy stat. I'm pretty blown away by that.
All right, Nico, you're the man. How about a hidden ball trick? Somebody in the Twitch mob thinks that could...
I've never done that at any level. Never had a successful one. Never really had an elaborate try or anything. I feel like people are pretty on it. I do really want to, like, backpick a runner at first base on, like, a single to the outfield that they throw in, and he's, like, celebrating with the first base dugout at Wrigley. Like, sometimes like that kind of shows up, and I haven't executed that, but that's out there.
Next time you get Lenin Sosa on the bases, you can give it a shot.
Nico, good luck tonight, good health, and thanks for joining us and sharing your stories about Rhino.
All right, guys, thank you. Have a good one.
You too, man.
That's Nico Horner
in the ball boy seat.
He's so great. And watching him last night, man, and watching him this weekend over at White Sox, man, that dude, he loves to play ball.
He even had a 10-pitch at bat against the Miz, against Jacob Mizorowski, to finish that inning, getting him up to 40.
So you're going to keep going with the Miz?
I mean, I don't think it's – I mean, that's the kid's nickname. Okay. You know, I'm good with that. Are you uncomfortable with it? You think
Tanny WMIL apparently is what's going on these days.
Tanny, you didn't hear the 2-minute timeout last night when our good friends at Pottawatomie Casino shocked us and finished the call with "Go Brewers," and we couldn't do anything about it
because the show was over.
It was like it just happened, and we went to break, and we were done.
But we were looking at each other like, "Well, yeah, should say Go Brewers, but also
how do we let that stand?" And we had no choice.
Well, that's what happens. You know, I can't take a day off around here, else all hell breaks loose on these airwaves.
But Pottawatomie is going to have shuttles for the game tonight and for the game tomorrow casino to the ballpark.
Yeah. Go to Pottawatomie and just say Go Cubs to them.
Yeah, that's what you should do.
Yeah.
After you get a ride to the stadium, that's what you should do. Nico Horner on the Score is sponsored by Huntington, home of asterisk-free checking. More at Huntington.com/your money. Speed, you know, it's interesting. One of the things that I've noticed in people talking about Rhino since last night, I don't know if I've ever seen this for someone else. I know that I felt it. But, and I share in this sentiment because of how I felt about Rhino as a kid and then as an adult. A lot of people are saying that I've seen on social media and even in our text thread is people always tell you to never meet your heroes.
Yeah.
And that's not true when it came to Ryne Sandberg.
No, it isn't.
And that's what an amazing tribute, because often people are disappointed when they get an opportunity to meet someone who is that big of a deal and that famous. But the idea that all of these people are like, yeah, Rhino was my guy. And then I met him, and he was more my guy, and it like was even after
better.
That.
Totally. Totally. And it was even better. Now, you and I come from different perspectives on this. You had, and you tweeted the picture of his poster in your bedroom in high school.
No, that was my dorm in college.
Oh, it was your college dorm.
Yeah. So look,
amazing.
Let me give you a little bit of backstory here. When I was a kid watching Rhino play, like, you know, my parents are, you know, they don't care. They let me watch White Sox games, they let me watch Cubs games. It didn't matter. We would go to both when I was a kid. And so I always wanted to play second base. So I always wanted to be...
You were kind of a double kid, weren't you?
I was one of those.
Stop dropping your odds.
Uh-huh. I declared when I was of age. And then I was like, when I went out for the team at Jackie Robinson West, I wanted to play second base because I had been working on playing second base because I wanted to be Rhino and all this stuff. And they were like, yeah, you're a little too chubby. We're going to put you behind the plate.
Oh, that's a tough moment.
It is a tough moment. Yeah. So I've been chasing like second base.
It's like when I thought I was a striker in soccer as a little kid. And they're like, yeah, we're going to put you on defense.
Yeah.
You're going to be a fullback instead.
Look, it's way more traumatic than I'm making it out to be. I've worked through the trauma on this.
Doesn't sound like it.
Well, I have.
Okay.
And then you find out, well, you know what? Your grandfather was a catcher in the Negro League. So there's a lineage of, and you should be proud of that. And Carlton Fisk was my other guy in town. But even in college, like that, I wanted to be Rhino. And then getting an opportunity when we met. Meeting Rhino in the press box back then.
Same day that we met at Wrigley when you were an intern for WMAQ.
Mm-hmm.
I was a young producer at The Score. It's the day Lawrence and I met on the field at Wrigley in pregame. And that's the day you met Rhino up in the press box.
And so I'm in awe because this is he's literally on my wall.
Yeah.
And then I get to meet him. And then that's great. And then filling in a couple times, doing pre and post, and working with Rhino. That's great.
That's
and then,
awesome.
But I love that other people, like they had the same thing. Like Evan Altman from Cubs Insider named his son Ryan,
mm-hmm.
and met him and introduced his son to him. And everyone being like, they tell you don't meet your heroes,
right.
But they never met Ryan Sandberg.
It's amazing. It's beautiful.
What a great legacy.
Totally. And I'll tell you, like, I had interacted with him a few times, you know, in short order through the years doing media. And then in 2019, I got asked to do a Q&A with him in front of a crowd over a brick house in Wrigleyville. Kind of like these things we're doing at Wildfire, where I had Michael Bush and got Matt Shaw coming up. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to sit down with Ryan Sandberg for an hour? Holy hell. All right, this is going to be a real conversation. And I was nervous. And he could not have been cooler. He immediately saw that I was a little nervous. And he's like, oh, man, this is going to be great. We got this. And, like, he immediately put me at ease. We had a terrific conversation. He was talking to me off to the side just to, like, check in. Every fan that would come up, he was warm with. Like, he totally took to the ambassador role. He really ended up enjoying the ambassador role after wanting to be a manager and envisioning a different kind of life in baseball. He took the ambassador role and he was great then. So that's like, as a media person, getting a chance to sit down and work with him, and he was just as great as you'd expect. So yeah, I think everybody's got a version of that story when they get a chance to meet and hang out with that dude.
Yeah, I like that people are saying that. Like, what? It's a really beautiful thing to be able to say about someone. Cubs manager Craig Counsell is going to join us. We'll ask him his thoughts on Rhino. We'll ask him about this series in Milwaukee. Still coming up on the show, Barry Rosner is going to join us. Andre Dawson is going to join us. And Bob Costas is going to join us. All to celebrate the life of Ryan Sandberg. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show here on The Score.